Hi, I'm Julie McDowell with the College of American Pathologists. In this CAPCAST, I'm talking with Dr. Benjamin Witt about the recent reclassification of what had been termed encapsulated or non-invasive follicular variant of papillary thyroid carcinoma as a result of a landmark April 2016 article in JAMA Oncology. Dr. Witt, let's start with an explanation of the recent reclassification and the reason for this reclassification.
The new diagnosis for these lesions is non-invasive follicular thyroid neoplasm with papillary-like nuclear features, or NIFP for short. The criteria for this diagnosis are encapsulation or clear demarcation, follicular growth pattern with less than 1% papillae, a minimum of 2 to 3 papillary nuclear features, where nuclear enlargement, nuclear overlap, elongation, nuclear membrane irregularities like grooves, pseudoinclusions, and optical clearing of chromatin are each awarded 1 point per feature. It was recognized that despite a marked increase in the diagnosis of papillary thyroid carcinoma, the mortality associated with papillary thyroid carcinoma has not paralleled the rising incidence, raising concern that a subset of these tumors actually represent indolent lesions. In particular, the available literature shows extremely indolent behavior for what was formerly the encapsulated or non-invasive follicular variant of papillary thyroid carcinoma. The Endocrine Pathology Society gathered 109 such cases with extensive clinical follow-up from 10 to 25 years and identified no recurrence or evidence of lymph node involvement. With this and other data, it is being proposed that lobectomy or hemithyroidectomy should be sufficient treatment for these lesions, with no need for completion thyroidectomy or radioactive iodine therapy.
So are there features that would disqualify a lesion for this new diagnosis of NIFP?
There are, and they include true papillae accounting for greater than 1% of tumor volume, somoma bodies, infiltrative border, tumor necrosis, a high mitotic rate, meaning at least 3 per 10 high-powered fields, and cellular or morphologic characteristics of another variant of papillary thyroid carcinoma.
Now, how will this impact the Bethesda system for the FNA evaluation of thyroid lesions?
A number of studies have looked at what Bethesda category for lesions that ended up being NIFP were placed into on the preoperative FNA. The vast majority were classified in the atypia of undetermined significance, follicular lesion of undetermined significance, or AUS, FLUS for short, follicular neoplasm, suspicious for follicular neoplasm, or FN/SPN for short, and suspicious for malignancy, or SFM, Bethesda categories. Currently, there is no consensus as to what category such lesions should be placed into. We might have to wait for the next update of the Bethesda system for thyroid FNAs, due out in 2018 for that. But I think probably suspicious for a follicular neoplasm might make the most sense because it awards the patient conservative surgical treatment such as a lobectomy, which is deemed appropriate for NIFP. And while cytologists should keep the possibility of NIFP in mind and even raise it as a diagnostic possibility in a comment, they should also realize that the diagnosis of papillary thyroid carcinoma can still be made on an FNA.
Finally, is there anything else you want to add about this reclassification?
NIFP will be recognized in the World Health Organization classification of endocrine tumors that is slated to be released later this year. I believe making note of this as a comment within the diagnostic report of such cases is a good idea to communicate this shift in terminology to the clinical teams.
Well, thank you, Dr. Witt, for your explanation about this complex topic. And thank you for listening, and be sure to listen to our other CAPCAST on CAPS SoundCloud channel at soundcloud.com/pathologist.